Pete's here. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Same question to you. You need to rank pancakes, waffles, French toast. Give me your sequence.
Well, I'm not eating any of it right now. So, yeah, I don't eat any of the three things you just mentioned.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of boycotting carbs a little bit. Like, I'll eat potatoes and some stuff, but I'm not really eating that right now. So, but if I were, when I was eating those three things, waffles were definitely last.
Thank you. Peak French toast is really good. Come on.
I mean, when I make my French toast is really good. Like, you got to make it right. Not all French toast is the best. They're not all created equal. And neither are pancakes, because I don't really like fluffy pancakes. But I'll tell you whose pancakes, I mean, trump everything, and that's Al's breakfast.
Al's, very good. Very good. Okay, what's the key to your French toast?
Well, simplicity is the key. I mean, it's just like an egg wash, you know, and you got to get the right bread. You know what I mean? You got to get like a nice, I don't know, what's that thick French toast bread? You know what I mean? Like, it's not
Texas
just
toast.
Regular white bread. Like, so you just got to get the right bread, and it's just a simple, the simplicity.
How about like
I don't want a bunch of fruit. I don't want a bunch of fruit in there. No, I don't want raisins. Cinnamon's fine. That's a great like addition, but like just a simple egg wash, and then just don't overcook them.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't like soggy.
Yeah, we had this tuna fish debate, and I've showed you examples of my tuna fish, and you've admitted your tuna fish pales in comparison.
No.
Yeah, you did. You just have tuna in your tuna fish. I mean,
I don't. I put so much stuff in my tuna. It's not even funny. Are you putting serrano peppers in there? No, you're not. Are you doing red onion? No, you're not.
Sometimes.
I don't think you're doing. No, you're not doing serrano peppers.
No.
No, you're not. You're not doing that.
Yeah.
I do. Like, there's a famous Dave's like spicy relish that I put in there.
Get
like,
out of here.
One of the famous Dave's. I put the relish in there. Oh yeah.
Get out of here with that. Come on. I mean, the 1990s are over, okay?
Celery,
Famous Dave's, they had
celery?
The run. Oh, bold takes. Of course, we all put celery. Come on. I put hearts of palm in there. I put walnuts there. Peanuts.
Walnuts?
Yes,
oh, now
pecans.
You're just like, no.
I put a little bit of, you know what? You know my new touches? A little bit of honey to sweeten it up a little bit. I put one hard-boiled egg in there.
Everybody is recoiling from your recipe right now.
No.
Everybody was like, yes.
So,
has Dave tried this? I want to see it. Has Dave tried it?
I've seen it. I've not tried it because I wouldn't try it because it looks heinous.
I'm right here, okay? I mean, not in California
Maybe if you added a serrano pepper or two, it might help you out.
Okay. So I'm having a lentil soup right now.
I make a great lentil soup, too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love a lentil soup.
I didn't realize Bobby Flay had joined the show.
No carbs, though. No carbs.
Okay. Do you put serrano peppers in this, too? Is this your go-to no matter what you make?
No, but I might, though. You're right. It might be good to put serrano peppers in there.
Okay, what's your key to lentil soup? And talk for a while because I'm going to have a spoonful right now.
You know, you got to put the right broth in there. You got to get a nice chicken stock that's going to be acceptable. I think you got to spice it up correctly. I think that one of the things is turmeric is a very important.
Very good. Turmeric is so good for all of us.
Yes, and you got to put pepper in there to activate the turmeric. So, yeah. Dude, like, I just need to invite you to my house and just, like, you know,
I've never been to your house.
Like, you're... I know. I've never been to your house. Well, I'm going to be your new house.
Yeah, I know. You've had a chance to see it. okay, now you've lost, what was you lost, 25 pounds?
Yes, 25 pounds.
Okay.
Yep.
You have faced some significant health challenges the last 15 years from heart bypass surgery, prostate.
Yeah.
How much of this was related to that? How much of it was related to, you know, you're in your 60s now? How much of it is related to your size? You know that, you know, there are peers who've had health issues earlier. How much was just, I want to do this?
I just, you know, it was more, you know, yeah, I was driven by just like, you know, wanting to be healthy. And you know, my wife, is, you know, Tika is very, very health conscious mm-hmm. and stuff. So, and we just started doing it together. You know, it's like the Peloton app, you know, the golf sim I have downstairs. We project the classes up onto the Peloton, onto the screen. And it's like you're in the class. So I dumped my membership. We just basically do it from home. It's made it so much easier to do it consistently and make it a lifestyle. And then the food part of it's been pretty easy. Once you stop, like just make it, you know, it's all about will, right? You just
yes.
like decide, okay,
get
I'm going to stop. I'm just
going
to get it. Like once you make it a routine, but you need to get into it and do it. And so it's been fairly easy just because I have the time to do it. And my wife is all, we keep each other honest and like, it's good to have that check, but no, I mean, I just was getting tired of my clothes not fitting right. And I was, you know, just like the whole stomach thing, the dad bod is like, just not good. So, no, I'm 7 pounds away from my playing weight.
Really? Are you suggesting a comeback?
Yeah.
They need another big, I told you we're going to talk Wolves next time. They need another big guy who can play defense. Come on, here we go. 60.
Oh my God.
Three?
No, I mean, seriously, I just, you know, the thing about that's different now when you turn 60 is like stuff just, you wake up and there's no reason for it to start hurting and then it hurts for no reason. So
I don't know. I'm not there yet. You know, so I'm.
Yeah, I know. You're still a young, strapping man. I did play golf yesterday at Winston. What a difference!
Too cold.
24 hours makes.
So, well, you going out there today? I mean, there's no Wolves game today. Come on, let's go.
I was feverishly trying to get back to my house too, and I almost got into an accident by myself on my side road, just trying to. But the snow is unbelievable.
It's
how
garbage.
Much it's snowing out here.
It's garbage.
And I was trying to rush. I was trying to rush back to get to my house so I could get to the Wi-Fi. Because my phone does not work. Like, this is another thing, too. Like, what is it with, like, we have Verizon, and our phone doesn't work in our neighborhood. Like, my phone does not work until I get inside my house to get Wi-Fi calling. It's very frustrating.
That's a problem. Because I know how much you talk on the phone. I'm Team Verizon. I have good luck with Verizon. But the only issue I have Verizon, because I'm downtown borderline every day, when I go under 100, or just to the east of 100 on 394, it can
yes.
go out a little bit there, and I don't like it. That's why Halle Berry has not called me back yet. It has to be that, you know.
Would you be frustrated if every time you left your house or came back to your house that you dropped your phone, whatever phone call you were on, got dropped?
Yes, I would call Verizon.
What happens when? Well, we have called Verizon, so I think we might have to switch. I think we're going to switch.
Wow.
So
all right.
it's just that same spot on 394 you're talking about. I bet everybody that's driving right now can, you know,
identify,
understand what
yep.
you're talking about. Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's pause. Let's talk to Jim about the Wolves. What has happened so far? What he's most encouraged by? What gives him a little bit of pause? And also, its perspective. It's 4 games into the season. He's tremendous at what he does, calling games now on FanDuel with Michael Grady, who's also tremendous. They are great. They're as good as any team in the NBA. It's that simple. Jim Pete, Michael Grady, Denver tomorrow. I'll be there. I know you're excited to know that I'll be there. If you have a Wolves comment or question, send us a text, 651-461-9226. Number of people praising the Serrano and Red Onion. Jim Pete delivering us recipes and the Wolves. Okay. Tell me what you're most pleased about so far and what gives you a little hesitation, a little pause through the first 4 games of the Wolves. Back in action tomorrow night at home against a team that I honestly think their window is closed. I think it's sad how Denver has slipped as much as they have, but you still get the best player in the game, the Joker. But on the Wolves, best part and something that you're paying close attention to.
Obviously, Ant has been fantastic. You know, to start the season, he's such a boss. You know, and he's just so competitive at practice today. I mean, every day I go to practice and shoot around. I mean, Ant is out there competing and driving guys to compete with him, and the amount of enthusiasm. I mean, even when they're running through drills, Chad. I mean, he is talking smack to when they're doing, you know, 5-on-0 drills. And it's his turn to shoot. And like he's taking a shot. He's like, he's talking smack as he's shooting the basketball. So it's one of the things that I think that if you pulled coaches in any sport that you want to talk, and you hear this all the time too from coaches, is the compete level of players today isn't as high as they'd like it to be. But they'd like kids to be a little bit more competitive and driven to compete on a daily basis. And it's so important to be a good basketball team to have multiple guys that their compete level rises to the level of the game and stuff. So, I mean, Ant is just off the charts in those regards. And I think that...
What about the three-point shooting this year, the significant increase? Do you like that? You're okay with it?
Yes, I am okay with it. I really like the fact that he's doing it. He's averaging 13 a game. I mean, there's a balance, and you know, I really don't perceive him to be taking bad shots right now. I mean, you've watched the games. I mean, how many times have you said that's a bad shot? Didn't like that. Didn't like the rhythm of it. Didn't like the timing of it. I just don't think it happens that often.
I think the last three games I've really liked him. I didn't like him in L.A. I thought there was a lot of ball stopping. You know, and I get it. He's a phenomenal player. You know, so listen, all great scores, every single one, there's going to be ball stopping. It's unavoidable. I just thought that game, there was a little bit too much. And in one of our texting group, I told you, like I was watching while you were in L.A., I was watching the Celtics just dismantle the Knicks. They were on pace to score 100 points in threes. And I love the NBA. I enjoy it. I wish we didn't have quite as many threes, but as long as you do, if you're not taking 35 to 40 threes a game as a team, I don't think you can win a title anymore. I really think it's a math game now.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, Boston's taking 50, almost 52 a game right now.
Crazy.
And you know, the Warriors are right behind them at 45. So, and the Wolves are seventh in the league in 3-point attempts. And, you know, one of the things that Finch said last year, because, you know, the Wolves won. They led the league in 3-point field goal percentage last year. And I think it's a great point when Finch, you know, talks about this, because like, if you lead the league in 3-point percentage, I think people would go, well, that's a pretty good thing for us. We're leading the league in 3-point percentage. Finch says, if you're leading the league in 3-point percentage, you aren't taking enough.
Yeah.
You need to take more.
You're taking the easy ones, not as many. I mean, he's right.
Or it's just not the volume. So he is right about that. And so I'll also say Julius Randle has been, for me, someone that I really liked a lot before he came here. I've really liked the fact that he's able to play a modern game and be able to shoot perimeter jump shots. Now, he's not a great three-point shooter, but he's been great this year. He's shooting – I mean, Julius Randle is shooting 62% from outside the arc, and it's not like small volume either. I mean, Julius Randle is 10 of 16, so – I don't know if that's obviously not sustainable, but Chad, it's also the passing that he's been able to do too. The passing that's led to 3-point shots, because he's got 20 assists on the season and 15 of them have been for threes. So, you know, in that Sacramento game, he had all four led to threes. He hit 5 threes in the game. So I don't know. He's just impacting the game in a positive way. And I think that when he feels more comfortable to be more of a vocal leader too, like he's still acclimating himself to the team. So I would say those two things are positive. And one of the things that caused me a little pause is that Mike has not been on track. Mike Conley is he's not shot the ball well, and he's 37 years of age too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he had incredible health last year, Chad, and that was one of the reasons why what drove our success was Mike was able to play, and he was able to play a lot of games too. What did he play? He played 76 games last year.
That's a lot, right?
So I mean, and so a few of those games he got rested. You know, there were a couple games where he wasn't hurt. He just got rested. And so, I don't know. So that's the only, and so Vinci also, you know, when you look at our season long stats right now, there's only 9 guys that show up. I mean, we're 4 games into this thing and only 9 guys have played. We have not had a blowout either direction. So we haven't even seen Rob Dillingham play. So
what do you think about that? I mean, I expected a little more. I'm not gonna lie about that. I get it. I get his theory though, because Randall and DiVincenzo come in so late, and the games have mainly been very competitive.
Yes.
Do you think? Okay. Let's say when we have this conversation 1 month from now, do you still think it's mainly those 8 guys and just a little sprinkling of Inglis, Joe Inglis, or we get a little more?
Well, I mean, I think you're going to have to expand your bench a little bit more. We've got 8 starters, basically. I mean, you think about N'Keal, Nas, Reed and Dante DiVincenzo. I mean, all three of those guys could be starters on a lot of teams, including this one. But you've got, I mean, Finchie, I know he's trying to get these guys, you know, like you're talking about, get them acclimated, but you've got to get Rob Dillingham some minutes because he's just a heartbeat away from having to play significant amounts of time if Mike gets hurt. So anyway, it you know, sometimes, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, and, you know, like it might take that for Rob to be thrown into a situation, and then they'll cross that bridge when they come to it. But
I think there's also a lot.
He's getting reps. He's getting reps in practice. Yeah. It's not like Rob's not getting reps.
Right.
You know,
I think, you know, I get it. You know, you're calling the games. I still pay close attention. It's a long haul. They're going to be playing until May or June, and I don't know, when did Ant start? Ant didn't start the first couple months. There's a lot of guys. It sometimes it can take longer. I think we all agree that if they don't make the Towns trade, that Dillingham's playing more now. So let's get to a little Towns and a little bit of the defense. I'm sure Carl thoroughly enjoyed scoring 44 against Jimmy and Miami yesterday. But when you talk about Carl, and I certainly didn't think I'd say this a lot, I think they miss some of Carl's defense right now, Pete. You know, and at least that height disparity. You know, there's about 5-6 inches. Randall's, what, 6'6"? Carl's 7 foot. And I'm not suggesting that Carl's Rudy-like. But that's
you need to go up and down in both of those measurements.
Really?
By the way.
Yeah.
Randall's 6'8", Cat's my size. A cat is not tall. I've been around Carl obviously a lot over the last 9 years, and I've taken pictures with him. We're the same size. So 6'10", 6'8". Julius Randle is a big physical.
Yeah, I didn't say he wasn't. 6'8", I didn't say he was big. I believe Cat is taller. I think you're compensating. You're compensating for your own size. That's what I think. But the defense. I think, you know, because it was such a calling card, to Conley's credit in making this deal, right, that having those guys either out there together helped. Doesn't the defense give you a little pause at this point, how much it's drops off when Rudy's not on the floor?
I mean, I don't know. I think that they're still trying to get it together. I'm not concerned about anything right now, really, to tell you the truth. I just think it's early. They've integrated two incredibly important pieces to what's going on right now. This is the beginning of the season.
Yeah, concern is too strong, right?
Finch has this track record of whatever problem comes up, he plays whack-a-mole. So he just is able to, you know, identify it and then come up with a plan to fix it and then implement that plan. And then he seems to, like, just problem solve. So in Finch we trust. I've said it since he's been the coach. I made the assertion when I first saw this guy on the court, like the way he managed just everything when he first came in, the firestorm that he came in with, you know, not, you know, Gerson, yep. Rosas brings him in. There's no process for him to go through to interview. Like, just hired him. He handled all that so cleverly and calmly, and the way that he's solved problems with all these different roster combinations we've had, I just have the utmost respect for him in this coaching staff.
Yeah, well, I do too. I mean, I said this opening day. I think in Conley and in Finch, they either have top five general manager, top five coach, or top 10 at the worst. I'm not, you know, criticizing another one. I'm just saying, I think it's something to watch. And I don't think Luka's going to play as long as guys are healthy. And I think Luka would play more somewhere else. I think they could use one more big lug who's just more of a defensive specialist down the road. And I get it's four games. I'm not trying to overreact. I just think defense still needs to be such a significant part. But I also get that they were 17th scoring last year. So Finch is really trying to emphasize if we're going to win at a really high level, you know this better than I. Most teams who play in the finals, they're top 10 in both offense and defense. They were the best team in the league defensively, but they were 17th in scoring. So that is a definite area where they need to get better.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, shooting more threes, you know, trying to, you know, play more of a ball movement, you know, player movement centric offense is fine. You've got two guys that are really great ISO scorers that you're going to have to accommodate. You have to accommodate Anthony Edwards being, you know, being that player. Like, you know, the first quarter last game, the hot hand that he had in that game against Dallas. And so that's, you know, it's one of those things that I was talking to Kevin Hansen at halftime when I was doing the game with Horton about, you know, how do you mitigate and sort of regulate this whole concept of Ant having a hot hand and dominating the offense at the sake of other people being sort of left behind. Like there's no rhythm to the group and, you know, getting that ball movement and stuff. And so, I mean, you kind of have to ride the Ant hot hand, don't you? I mean,
oh yeah, for sure. That I have no issue. I thought he was fabulous. Last thing, because there's a text on this. Texts are simple. Why aren't the Wolves beating the Mavs? What is the issue right now between those two teams?
I think the issue for me has been the difference for me is like the screening and rolling of their two bigs has been a big factor. Gafford and Derek Lively have been fantastic, and because they just set such great screens, and they get in and out of screens, they run the floor so well. I think they're kind of a difference maker, and let's be honest, I mean, like
those two guys hitting shots,
they have two of the greatest ISO scorers in the history of the game.
Yeah,
I mean, like
right.
like literally like Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving are two of the greatest in the history of the game.
Yeah.
So, and Kyrie was so good in that last game, and Luka hit the biggest shot of the game. He was 0-for-7 from outside the arc, and he drains a 32-foot. 3-point
over.
Shot to seal the deal.
Yeah, I think it was over. I would like my driveway shoveled by the time I get home. So please get that done. You or Tika, I don't care. Either one of you. Thank you.
Okay, just keep waiting for it. Okay.
I'll wait for you all winter. I don't think it's going to happen. Jim Pete, check him out with Grady tomorrow. FanDuel. The story which we've discussed every day this week about MPD and how long they waited. Considering the complaints were going on forever, activists at a city council meeting jumping in. Let's get back to that serious story when we return on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Great song. Witchy Woman is a great song. Every day this week we've talked about this story because I have still major, major questions. This is John Sawchuk, who... for months and months and months and months and months on a regular basis was harassing his neighbor. His neighbor, Davis Maturi, was shot. Considering the location, could have been killed. Easily could have been killed. Maturi and his wife had called 911. What was the report the other day? 30 sometimes. It never ended. Menacing, threatening, hate speech, vandalism, flashlight, following the wife as she's, I forget whether she was walking the car or from the car to the house, threatening with a gun. MPD saying that they were paying attention to this. Claiming they were paying attention to this going back to April, but when they had people there, he was never outside the home. This is an individual who has had multiple other encounters with the law, and a couple of them, Dave, was deemed mentally incompetent to stand trial. So MPD's argument is, from what they've shared with us, they were concerned about who could be harmed if they went in forcefully. Blair Anderson joined us on Tuesday, correct? I think Blair was on Tuesday?
Yes.
Blair Anderson, who spent his life in law enforcement, whose default every single time is to defend law enforcement. But he is also not afraid to look at the evidence. Okay? This is Blair Anderson. Among his responsibilities, former longtime police chief of St. Cloud, who the default is to defend police because of the law enforcement background and the brotherhood he feels with that. But also, if there's incompetence, he'll call it out. He was crushing MPD in this one. He admitted he's been highly praised, O'Hara, and had a lot of questions about what O'Hara said and did. I have praised O'Hara. O'Hara's been on this show multiple times. We've asked him tough questions. I feel like he mainly, from what I've witnessed and from people on the force, formerly in the force, I know, I've given Brian O'Hara praise. This one, they weren't good enough. They, in my opinion, weren't close to good enough. That a family has to be tormented by this guy. And by the way, he shot on a Wednesday, and they finally broke into the home middle of the night, early Monday morning. By the way, that was at a press conference. After a press conference on Friday, where individuals made up mainly of people who disagree with Jacob Fry spoke out about it. Andrew Jenkins, though, was a part of it, and she doesn't always disagree with Fry. And Jacob Fry, the mayor, said, well, they're politicizing this. They should have reached out. Dave, a lot of politicians use the bully pulpit. Jacob Fry does, too. Should they have reached out directly to O'Hara first? Yeah, I agree. But city council, which Minneapolis, I rarely agree with, although there are individuals who I think are good. Latricia Vita, I end up agreeing with her a lot. And then finally, after there was more attention paid to this story, they busted in the house, something they were reluctant to do for a long time. Well, if they find out a way to arrest this guy, going back to, I mean, it started in late 23, and then they were monitoring the house this year, April. He's not shot. But now we get to the extremes of this one, and I'm just not with this one right away without knowing a lot. And I don't see any scenario at all where I'm calling for O'Hara's head over this one. I don't, from what I know so far, I don't agree. Every time I disagree with a city and a police chief, I don't think that means I have to call for someone's head. And now, of course, my computer is locking up. But among the comments from the activists, we want his ass to resign. Talking about O'Hara. We gave him an opportunity to come in here and make change. We believed in him when he came in. We didn't know him when he got here. He wanted to run the status quo, and we are continuously bodies laid down dead in the street. Is it Mavis? I don't know why my computer's locking up right here. I am not calling for Brian O'Hara to resign. They're having an after-action investigation. Marvia Haynes, I apologize. The computer was locking up. I think he still should have answered even more questions. We reached out. We were given complete Heisman. Most of the time when we reach out, we at least get something back. Unavailable. He's on Adam and Jordana coming up. Whatever. We got nothing. I think this one is so serious that the after-action report can continue. But he should be answering some questions on this concurrently. But no, I don't think he should be fired over this one. Or he should be forced to resign over this. Now, maybe in this after-action report we learn something even more damning, and maybe I change my opinion. But overall, the people I trust, and then my own opinion from observing, I feel like he has been an asset to this city. An individual should have been protected a lot sooner. They've added more police. Seems like they've built up more of a relationship in some key areas. They're still unbelievably understaffed by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. So, yes, criticize. But if we're going to go with the phrase default again, that I use Blair Anderson, the idea that the default is automatically say he has to go, that's way too soon for me, Dave. And to me, again, it turns into, and again, I don't want tepid comments. I want strong opinions. But again, on controversial items, so often it's either this side is 1,000% correct or this side is absolutely wrong and I've heard enough, I don't want to hear any more information.
MPD knows they screwed up. Brian O'Hara knows he screwed up. They issued an apology. You know, he actually said, I apologize to Davis Moturi and his family.
To the victim, yep.
We dropped the ball on this one. We either did not take this serious enough or just did not act soon enough. And obviously, it came to a horrific conclusion with Moturi being shot in the neck and nearly killed. And I have to assume his life altered now for the rest of it.
Yep.
You know, I wouldn't call for resignation. I'd wait to hear a little more. I'd like to know what the investigation finds. You know, people were calling for the investigation, obviously, of O'Hara, calling for the resignation of O'Hara and of Jacob Fry for this. And I can't for the life of me figure why you're calling for the mayor to resign over a issue of police.
I guess he hired O'Hara. Is that why? Or they're suggesting somehow Fry was in on this?
I think we're suggesting that it's people that just don't like Jacob Fry, so why not lump him in on this? So typically, when we get a lot of calling for resignations, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it because it's usually people that have an axe to grind already. And hey, let's use this and get back at it. So, but I mean, there's still, as you said, a lot to be answered. Just as far as how was the situation between the two neighbors after dozens of 911 calls, of visits.
How was torment.
Yes.
Harassment.
Yes. How was
threats
it seemingly
of violence? What if that was us? And anybody listening, month after month after month, you're coming home, you're worried about your significant other, and nothing happens. I would be furious. Let's pause here and get to some texts on the topic. Text coming in. What do you want to say? 651-461-9226. Including, you want to squeeze in a phone call? We absolutely will take calls. We're just looking for something unique to add to the conversation, but we'd love to take a phone call on the topic also. 651-461-9226. All right, let's jump back in. We'll start with a call and get to plenty of texts. Dean, thank you so much for listening. Go ahead. You're on WCCO Radio.
Thank you. Chad, I was telling your producer offline there that what these police officers, since Floyd, they are, when it comes to lethal force and use of force, are so handcuffed or handicapped, this is the result. The time in between the pausing to take action is all a result of activists demanding the police do better. And when they do what they say, what do? They complain about how long it takes. And they're the same ones that are telling, that have mandated, it's been mandated, these police have been mandated to not take this kind of force.
There is a little bit of hypocrisy where certain individuals do exactly what you say. And I will not in any way deny that after Floyd, there was a great examination of a lot of things, which also included a fair look at some of the rare officers who needed to be removed, but also a feeling of very good, competent officers who are reluctant to do their job. But I will say this, considering this was 30-some calls, and they now were specifically monitoring the house since April, I'm sorry for me, George Floyd is not an excuse in this case. They needed to do more.
How?
You go in at some point and do something. If you're next door, hang on a sec, if you're next door and you're getting harassed over and again, including hate speech, threats with weapons, you just want to say, okay, I'll just wait for the police to see the guy on the street and calmly just take him out. That wasn't going to happen with this guy, and it didn't. So finally, they forcefully went in. They should have done that months ago, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you see, it's your opinion, and it's not what the officers, the police, the standard that they are now held to.
It's in law.
There are times when. Why did they then go in on Monday then? Why did they go in then? Because they did, with force. They didn't just knock on the door, say, come on out. So you're okay
because
if this happens to you. If you're next door, if this happens to your house, are you
not.
Okay?
I'm telling you. No, I am not. I am telling you that this is because of the activist mentality.
There's some of that out there. I agree. Some of that, but not every time.
This is it. They cannot do anything. The things you think they should be doing, they cannot do any longer.
That's
educate
wrong.
Yourself, Chad.
No, you're wrong.
Educate yourself.
No, you're wrong.
I am not.
Yes, you are.
Look
because there are forceful actions like police officers across the country all the time it happens. Is there too much hesitancy, Dave, at times? Damn right. And some activists are frauds because they want to have it both ways. 100% right. But the idea that police can never go in, they then did go in. So how can you say they're not allowed to go in when eventually they did?
I don't think O'Hara's apologizing if there was literally nothing they could have done.
The police chief himself apologized. Can I go to – let's do this. Let's read a few more texts on this topic when we come back. Also, if you want to call in, you certainly can. Let's pause right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.